week right now, and there was an error on the one sheet that was originally handed out. It said, read chapters 41 through 11. So that had been confusing, so I made a red mark means I made a correction right here. So it's 41 through 50.
No.
Okay. Where are we? Let's go ahead. All right, and these arrows are just pointing to things we've already covered. You notice, if you can see it at all, this says chapter 3, week 3, and it says the, I should use this, shouldn't I? Whoa, no, not that. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's lower. There it goes, boy. All right. This one shows, let me hit the right button. Let me just point at it. Okay. This shows the last week we covered the fall and casting out of the Garden of Eden. Well, actually, we only went through the fall in the Garden of Eden. And then this week we're going to look at actually chapter 4 and 5, which is into week 4. And that's history of Abraham's descendants through Noah. And it's really hard to stick to anything script-wise on this because we're covering such a large amount of material. We're covering a lot of it at the beginning. We're covering it in pretty much detail. But later on, we're going to, and I'll show you as we go along here, week nine, we're going to start asking that we read at home. You'll never be able to read all of it in class. Chapters 12 through 25, it was pretty easy to do the home reading, though. It's only like one or two chapters in preparation for the class. And then we also look at them in class, too. Mm-hmm. And there's a phase two, if you will, where we'll have to do some reading, a little bit more reading at home, and a little less being able to show it. Okay, we're studying a survey of Genesis. Again, it's harder to say we're studying Genesis in any detail. You can study Genesis for, 5-6 years now. Without getting covered in the same material class. But today's agenda, we're going to review last week's lesson, consider the lies. This is my fault. I've got the wrong one up here. This is not the right one. Okay. This is exactly kind of what we're doing. I gave Russ the wrong file of that one, but it's almost the same one. Notice even them and their failures. And we're going to read in class reading. And we're going to do some discussions on the reading. And it doesn't show right here. I really wish I had got the right file. But anyway, look off. We see him leaving the garden. Go ahead. And then we will look at the most gracious promise. We've already got a handout called the Scarlet Thread. Now, does everyone know what the Scarlet Thread is? In case you don't, that's a name given to all of the prophecies of the coming Messiah throughout the whole Bible. And there's places that are listed, and we'll look at a few of those. In summary, closing comments. I've got the wrong one up here. I gave you the wrong sign. Can you change this one? The one at the very top one is called A. Let's see. I'm sorry for the interruption. I should have been more precise when I told Russ. If you go to the top of it, the very top of the folder, mm-hmm. file folders, go on, let's see. Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. Go on up one more level. Just click. Yeah, like you opened it up, okay? Just like you opened up the stick. Still not there. No, just click on the stick. Go here where it says. Yeah. Click that. Just click that. And there should be something. No, I'm sorry.
Left the wrong drive.
Yeah, it's got to be that one, maybe. We'll take everything off for it next week. There it is. It's on K. It's double A up there at the top. See?
Double A under K.
Yeah. There's one file. That's the one I need.
Okay.
All right.
That was definitely a curveball. We were looking at the wrong lesson slides.
Okay, not a lot of difference from what we already looked at.
Thanks.
Okay, we've got an average check what we're talking about. We've already done this.
We always have to be flexible in this job.
Pointed out that the schedule is going to change around October the 2nd as far as the reading assignment is concerned. Okay, we're up to seven. Okay, a survey of Genesis, today's agenda. We're going to do a general review, an azimuth check. We've already done the azimuth check. We're going to review last week's lesson. Consider the lies that Satan told to Eve. And then third, we're going to look at Adam and Eve's failure. And Adam and Eve's failure's pattern. It's actually a pattern that they went through. And think about some lessons for today in that. Come on in, please. And then... Then we're going to do the group reading like we did last week, where we actually read the passage, the whole 2.5 chapters, and taking each reader reading a portion of it. We'll have some discussions on the reading. We'll look at the most gracious promise, which is in Genesis 3, verse 15. And that's the main part of our study today. Then we're going to talk about the scarlet thread on the handout that you've got. And then finally, we'll have a summary closing comments. And at that time, we'll look and ask the question, is there anything you haven't noticed before that you read today? Okay. Just a quick review. We said that Genesis is the book of the beginning of the universe and earth, the beginning of the human family, the beginning of sin and death, which we've already looked at the sin part, and then the redemptive process, which is what we're talking about today. It's the book of the beginning of the redemptive process. And it's the beginning of sacrifices. It tells that story. It tells the story of the beginning of civilizations. It tells the beginning of the diverse languages and nations in the 11th chapter of Genesis. And then the beginning of the Hebrew nation, with Abraham, and in the beginning of the prophecies of the Messiah, which we're looking at the very first prophecy today, in Genesis 3:15. Now, a reminder of what the scriptures say. It says that the scriptures say to themselves they're inspired by God, and they are profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for instruction. They're full of information, all the depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Paul says in Romans. And you can't read that, but they are for our learning. They keep us from being lost, or they find us when we are lost. They instruct us by command and, of course, examples. But the examples that we think of a lot of times is the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, which is called the what chapter? The faith chapter. And it's the story of these people that we need to be studying about. Paul says those are written four times and written for our learning. And it's about these people, these examples for us. He was talking about himself in his time, wasn't he? In Romans, when he said things written before time, the Old Testament kind of things, written for our learning. But it's also for our learning today. They do instruct us to so many examples. They provide us everything pertaining to life and godliness, according to 2 Peter 1, verse 3. They are living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, according to Hebrews 4, verse 12. You know that looking at the scripture sometimes is not easy, is it? It looks at right back at you. It's a mirror, according to James. It tells you what you're doing wrong sometimes. It tells you what you should be doing. That's right. And so that's the use of the scriptures and the role of the scriptures. Now we're into today's lesson about the evil lies. The evil lies that Satan told to Eve in the garden. First he said, you will not surely die. Maybe that's the first lie ever told. I don't know. The Lord knows everything in his creation. He knew everything, and so no one would attempt to lie to him. He wouldn't think so anymore. But this is the first lie that's recorded. It's the lie that Satan told to Eve. You will not die. Your eyes will be open. we as God, is God knowing everything, seeing it. And then he says, okay. And now, she takes her own, takes over and starts telling her own self lies, okay? Satan didn't say this. She says she understood that it was good for food, that fruit that was forbidden. And then she said, it's a, come on in, please.
I just need some men to help me get up. In the cup, first
one
I'm
going to
I hate to stop
him. That's no, we'll catch you back up. Okay, she thought it was good for food. She thought it was a delight to the eyes. She thought it was desirable to make make you wise. And then Eve heard the sales pitch that Satan gave to her. And she believed it. Now, what can Eve do? She can either ignore Satan and walk away from him, or get out of the range of his tension. She can reject it. She can tell him, I'm not listening to anything you say. She could have rejected it. But she didn't, did she? She embraced what he had to say.
Yeah.
The sales pitch worked with her. And what did she do? Let's look at the cycle we're talking about. What did Adam and Eve do? First of all, Eve did listen to the lies. She believed the lies. She admired the fruit that she wasn't supposed to have. She desired that fruit. She took the fruit. Now, wait a minute. So far, let's back up one. Back up one. So far, has she really committed sin? And this is, I know this is debate. Okay, this is debate. Has she really committed sin? What did God tell her to do? Do not eat of it, and don't even touch it, right? So when she did this, when she desired it, she still hadn't got the same thing. I don't think about it either. But here, she took the fruit. She touched the fruit. She had committed sin at that point. And then she ate the fruit, did both the things the Lord told her not to do, and then what did she do? She shared the sin. She shared it with her husband. And there's a lot of debate goes on about what went through Adam's mind at this point. Did he realize, did he really believe what the devil had said? Did he believe that was wrong? Maybe he didn't. Maybe he just wanted to be with his wife. Do whatever she wanted to do. He was certainly must love her a whole lot. And he took that little look for the reason that he did it. Because the Bible says that Eve was deceived from that. Maybe Adam was deceived. Maybe Adam went into this sin knowing that he was doing wrong. He didn't believe in anything the devil said. That's conjecture. Hid from God. What did they do? They hid from God. When they realized what they did, they decided they needed to hide from God. Sometimes I get that feeling. When I haven't done what I'm supposed to do, or when I've done something I shouldn't do, I get the feeling like I want to hide from God. I can't do that. He's everywhere. We're back to turning on the president. Mm-hmm. He's everywhere. You can't hide from God. Later on, Jonah will realize that you can't hide from God. Found himself in the belly of a fish. And then the next thing they did, they confessed to sin. Now, it's confession unto salvation. You know, we say, with a heart man believes unto salvation, with the mouth, with a heart man believes in the confesses those things in salvation. Is it under salvation? No, it's not. They confessed because they knew God knew what they did. Okay. So it's not a confession that's the same as what we talk about when we say someone needs to confess the name of Christ and find salvation. Now, when they confessed under those circumstances, what was the first thing they did? Pass the blame.
Yeah,
you
did.
Say,
you blame somebody else for
the actions. Who did Eve blame? Yeah, she blamed Satan. Well, that's some blame over there for sure. But that doesn't relieve her of any responsibility to it. Okay, then and what did Eve do? She blamed the devil. And what did Adam do? He blamed Eve. So the blame game, well, alive and well in those days, just like politicians today. Blame somebody else pretty quickly. Yeah, what's my fault, I don't know, those kind of things. All right, Genesis, fall of man, okay? And I apologize, you can't be able to see that, but we're going to look at that scripture very closely a little bit. It says, the Lord God sent them out of the garden to till the ground from which he was taken. It's talking about man. And so he drove out the man and the woman, and he placed a cherubim. What's a cherubim? That's an old King James term. We all probably know what it is. It's an angel, isn't it? It's an angel of God given the assigned mission to guard.
No one can, you know.
Yeah, he had a blade of sword. He was turned every way so to guard the way so the woman would get to the tree of life.
Right.
Now, leaving the garden, I want us to put ourselves a little bit into the shoes of Adam and Eve today. Imagine their despair. Once they got through all the confession and realized that the Lord knew what was done, and he's going to take them out of the garden, don't you know they were in a state of desperation? They didn't know anything about what was going on other than, hopefully they can realize that God loved them. We don't know that. But then, they got to thinking about this thing called death. What did they have as an example of death at that point? Huh? They didn't have an example of death, did they? They didn't have any loved ones who died. What you did, even the animals didn't die. We don't say anything about animals dying. So death was something unheard of, unimaginable. So they're standing at the gate of the paradise where they just left and dreading this thing called death. Mm-hmm. Good point. I'll take correction on that. Well, I'm just wondering, what's the dead animal? We don't know anything about how that happened. Did the Lord manufacture these? Maybe take it off the animal. The animal is not a human being. So that's a good point. But I just know that death was certainly new to human beings. Okay. I had to be thinking, when will we die? How will we die? They turn around and look longingly back at the garden and said, thank you, we will. And you will follow God. So their understanding, they think all hope is gone now at this point. It's a very good possibility that they did, right? We have sinned, we've done what God said we should do. He said we're going to die. We're kicked out of the garden. And they could have well followed us all over the And then they find comfort though in Genesis. What the Lord said in Genesis chapter 3. That's we're going to read that in our group reading. Genesis 3, verse 15. And then there's the prophecies of the coming Messiah that are all throughout the Bible. Also, this is the very first one we're looking at. Okay, let's do the reading right now. You can read from your Bible, if you will. I'll tell you the chapter of verses and everything. Good morning. Okay. I need a volunteer for the first one because I had assigned someone this first reading. So if anybody, okay. Go ahead, Judy. Okay, the first one is going to be Genesis 3, starting at verse 9, and we'll read at least through 14, okay?
Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I knew myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman who you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman,
okay, let's stop there next year. Russ. Now we need another volunteer. So far, this list not going to do well. All right, go ahead. Starting with verse 15 of chapter 3. This is the actual, first promise of the Messiah. Go ahead. Next person listed is Cindy. Cindy? Yeah, hello. Okay. 22, and I'll tell you when to stop. I don't know. Thank you. And Mildred.
And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Methuselah, Methuselah begat Lamech. Then Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the second was Zion. And Adar bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Tubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah.
Okay, thank you so much. Yeah, I meant to warn who read this, the names were coming up, so, but you did very well. I also learned that it's not a big deal if we mispronounce some of these, because if you hear some foreign person speak, because it won't sound really anything like that anyway. Particularly people from the Middle East will pronounce these completely differently. So you did really good with pronouncing those names, all right? Let's see who is next. Christine. Verse 23. Christine here? Lamech said to his wives, okay, verse 23.
Lamech said to his wives, Abram said, listen to this. Wives have said, hear my words. I have killed a man to own the world, a young man to enter in the world. And Abram said to them seven times, but Lamech seven times. And he led his wife again, and she gave birth to a son, and then he
Again, just give it your best shot, and we'll go from there. This talks about along the generations of Adam, starting with chapter 5, verse 1, and it goes into the longevity of the people of that time. And there's a lot of people have doubts about that, but if you add all those names up in the gathering and consider that probably towards the end, the ones that were born towards the end were born at the same time as Adam. It fits into the 1500 to 2000 time frame that this is taking place. So it's not something that we need to back up and say, nobody wants to be 900 years old.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and talk about it and read it. Okay, this is the book of the generation that starts.
This is the midnight of Alex and Samuel. When God created the mankind, he makes it in the likeness of God. He created them male and female. And blessed them, and he named them mankind when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived a total of 930 years, and then he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enoch. After he became the father of Enoch, Seth lived 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Seth lived a total of 912 years and then he died. When Enoch had lived 19 years, he became the father of Cain. After he became the father of Cain, Enoch lived 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Together,
Okay, I didn't stop your time. It's okay.
Okay.
You did very well. Okay, Norma, is Norma here? I got to give a warning up a little sooner to this. Help me out, passing this. Okay, go ahead, Norma. We'll start with the first 11, okay?
Uncle Enoch lived a total of 905 years and then on dad. But Enoch had lived 70 years, he became the father of Cain. After he became the father of Cain, Cain lived 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Although Cain lived a total of 910 years and then he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he became the father of Jared. After he became the father of Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Mahalalel lived a total of 895 years and then he died. When Jared lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch.
Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived a total of 962 years and then he died. For Lumac had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah.
Methuselah, huh?
After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years.
Okay, thank you. And you've already, no, you haven't read it, have you? You haven't read it, have you? You did last year. Okay. Verse 24.
Enoch walked God when he was manual because God took him away. The first Lord had lived 187 years. He became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, he was the Lord 782 years. And other sons and daughters. Altogether, the first Lord lived 969 years, and then he died. Lamech lived 182 years, he had sons. He named him Melech and said, he will comfort us in the labor and painful toil that our hands caused by the ground of the Lord has caused. After Moses, when Lamech lived 595 years, he had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Lamech lived 777 years, and then he died. After Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem and Jacob.
Okay, good reading today. I'll figure out a way to give you a little more heads up before you have to come up to reading. So I'll figure this thing out, but we're doing really well with reading. I think everybody who's volunteering to do that. And I think it's good for us. If we can, if we have a time to do the reading, we'll do that. How much time we got left is the question, so we'll figure out how to get through it. 10 minutes. Okay, we've got to move pretty quickly. All right, the gracious promise. Satan the serpent is cursed in that. His victory will not last. He looks like he's won, doesn't he? He kicked him out of there. That's what he wanted. Then the enmity between Satan and the woman's seed began. And an apparent ultimate victory won't last, though. We know that. Okay? The Lord will not allow it. Her seed will crush Satan's head. That's what we're talking about today in this lesson, the first prophecy of the Messiah. Did they understand the implications of Genesis 3, verse 15? Did they? Maybe they did. I don't know. Probably they didn't. A lot of people have a lot to learn in the Old Testament about what God was doing. And we, even today, even in the New Testament, you know, the apostles didn't know what was going on most, a lot of the time. They would ask the Lord, hey, they were in the dark or something. But the point is that the Lord is still loving his creation, and he is giving promise all throughout all these generations. And so they didn't understand at that point probably what it means. But it does give them a great hope, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. He's given some promises. When is this going to happen? That sounds good. There's joy at some point as they departed. Now we picture them departing out of the Garden of Eden, feeling very bad, downcast. But surely Genesis 3, verse 15, ever said that the Lord there did give him some happiness, some joy. Now, this scarlet thread of redemption, I passed out a handout on that. Did everybody get a copy of the handout? not that complicated of anything. We'll just kind of rush over it right. This is the story of who can just tell me in their own words what happened with Rahab? What happened with Rahab? Who is Rahab? Who is Rahab? We actually got there way over Joshua. This all happens.
She was a harlot, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yeah, she was a harlot. She hid the spies. Mm-hmm. How did she get saved when Joshua and his folks came back in there and slaughtered everything inside? They had the scarlet. Had her put the scarlet thread out the window. And then when they came in there, he'd already given them orders. He must have killed the person about this house. So that scarlet thread was symbolic of something, wasn't it? The blood of Christ. Yes. It was symbolic of what we have to claim, that the scarlet thread that we have that keeps us from being counted with those that are to be destroyed.
Okay.
Okay, the mission of prophecies and fulfillments. I, of course, I didn't list them all here. I just listed a few of them, but I listed the place where the scripture is, Genesis 3, verse 15. It's the first one we looked at today. It's fulfilled in Galatians 4, verse 4, where it says, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. Mm-hmm. So that was the fulfillment. God sent forth his son at the appropriate time. Genesis 3, verse 15, fulfilled. And then the descendants of Abraham, he would be a descendant of Abraham, Jesus, the Christ would be. And that's fulfilled in Acts 3, verse 24. He would be a willing sacrifice, the scriptures say in Genesis 22, verse 1 to 13. And John 3, 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he's the sacrifice. In the scripture, he is the owner of the scepter. What is a scepter? Anybody seen a scepter lately? Yes, sir. Yes, like a law, something that the king will have in his hand. He says, I have the authority. So this scripture talks about the Messiah. When he comes, he will have the scepter, the authority. And the scepter was a staff or rod carried by a king or high official. It was used as a token of the sovereignty and authority of the person carrying it, the king in this case. And the prophecy of the Passover lamb. In Exodus 12, verses 1 to 51, it's part of the scarlet thread, and it's fulfilled in John 1, verse 29. And it speaks of, in Numbers 24, verse 17, a star coming out of Jacob. And the star coming out of Jacob, of course, is Jesus. And that prophecy is fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. A prophet like Moses says in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 19, fulfilled in John 1, verse 35 and 36, and at least 33 more examples, which we won't go through today, of the prophecy of the coming Christ. That's what's called throughout the Bible in different places. You'll find prophecies of the Messiah coming. That's called the scarlet thread by a lot of folks. Okay, that's what you already got. Let's hand that to you real quick. Amy, how did I miss that? Passages, I think I've got one. Didn't I? How did I miss that? I got one from you. The animals. How did I miss that? I read Genesis at least 50 times in my life. And I didn't realize, I didn't think about it. There would have to be some sin in there. The sin to come into the world, anyway, it gave me some food for thought. Any other passages?
Well, when you think about it, God had to kill animals to make clothing. That was also the first blood sacrifice.
That was?
Yeah.
Right. You got to think about that. That's good. What is the Cain and Abel, what were they supposed to say? What were they supposed to sacrifice? Well, maybe that was the first, by faith, Abel gave the more excellent sacrifice. So God had either told them at that time about a blood sacrifice, or...
But if God killed the animals in order to make clothing for Adam.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that would have been the first blood sacrifice.
Right, given by God himself. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Think about life in general. Today, we can picture the things that were sacrificed outside because we know what we're going to do, and there's nothing we want to do.
That probably would have been the first thing if they ate it, because they were vegetarians in the garden.
Right, but that's absolutely true. I don't know that they ate it, but because the Lord didn't give the command until after the flood, right? It says you can eat meat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, what did you do with meat? I guess it's a good
question.
We don't have an answer to that, but you wonder what happened to the meat when you pick the skin out of it. Okay, that's some pretty good ones. And you'll find some more as we go along. I got some that I just jumped out of me and I thought, wow, that's what initiated all the study. I didn't know that Genesis said that. All right, good. Thank you. That has some good. Yes, sir.
I have one more too that I never thought about when I read it. Not too long ago, but when God made it,
let that move on. That's what we're doing on these. Some of these you don't have an answer to. These are some of these. Yes, sir, Becky. Where did the wise come from? Okay. that didn't come from the reading there, but it comes, it's implicated, isn't it? Okay. That one has been discussed many, many times. Do you have an answer by chance? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I do everything. When did we know that Adam and Eve were sin? I mean, or was that just
wow. Now we're getting into some real theological depth here, and I'll have to turn this over to Russ at this point. God knows everything. He knows the heart of man. So obviously he would know what human heart was like and probably what they were going to do. Did he know exactly?
No.
Now that's a Russ question. So we're discussing what was God thinking about when he put them there. Did he know they were going to commit sin? Anyway, I'll turn that one over. You can think about that one for a while.
I say God knows what he knows.
That's right. Yeah, one more. Well, we're out of time.
One scripture that I've always wondered about is Genesis 2:24. Unfortunately, man leaves his father and mother, and his wife,
so he weren't special.
There wasn't any father and mother of Adam and Eve.
So that was a prophecy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it must have been, because, I mean, I just happened to,
that's the point. Yeah. Again, you can think about these things. Mm-hmm.
Also, it gives you the implication that one wife. He could make multiple wives. You know, so in the beginning, he was sent out.
And Jesus said, Jesus
one
man
and one woman, you know.
Yeah.
So,
from the beginning, it has not been so. But it's a good point. So did Satan get cast out after the heavens were created? I guess it's really the question. Yeah. Since then, it's cast out from the heavens. Are we talking about the heavens that the Lord created, or is another place it's coming from?
I think the most
pleasant
thing is
that kind of time. Thank y'all for your time. Very good question. Okay, now, y'all be ready for me on these. I didn't notice that before. It's really hard. Give me a call. Let me start studying ahead of time. Thank you for your attention. Thank you.